My name is Sharon Lipinski, and I am on the phone with Whitney Brandt, co-founder of 100 Women Who Care on the Central Coast. And we're going to spend a few minutes talking about her giving circle and what she's learned so that we can all learn from each other's experience. So, Whitney, can you tell us a little bit about your group?
Well, our group is called 100 Women Who Care on the Central Coast. And we got this idea from a friend of ours who actually joined the Santa Cruz chapter. She came to us in December of 2009, and we thought this was such a great idea that we really wanted to help out and we really wanted to make a difference in our community. We are both teachers, my co-founder and I, and so we saw a lot of need in our community anyways, and just decided that this would be such a great way to bring women together, and they wouldn't have to spend a lot of their time or a lot of their money, and they could make a huge impact. So that was what really drew it to it. And after talking about it together in December, we finally had our first meeting in March of 2010. So it's been just over a year that we've been together.
And what have you discovered during your first year?
We discovered that we had a lot to learn. It was very challenging in that regard. We both had, you know, a really good skill set that we brought to the table, being teachers and knowing how to reach out to people and having good writing and communication skills and knowing how to work cooperatively. But we didn't know a lot about PR, and we didn't know a lot about how to just get people to find out about this great opportunity. So that was the most difficult thing that we had going for us. But we've learned over time, and we've really reached out to our community and found people who are willing to help and who are willing to support us and get our name out there and let people know that this is going on.
So does your group have a particular mission? Does it focus on a particular type of giving?
Our giving is really general in the sense that we don't limit the type of organization that can be chosen. The only requirement that we do have for organizations is that they be based in Monterey County. Our whole mission is to not only bring women together who didn't think they could ever give large amounts of money before, but to impact our community. We want it to be a change that we can see. And so we require that they not be national organizations. For example, instead of giving directly to Girls Inc., which is a national organization, the first time that we did a donation, we gave it to a local school who was using Girls Inc. to send some of their students to a female empowerment summer camp. And so it was something that we could actually see in our community. It wasn't going to go to the general Girls Inc. It was going to go to these five specific middle school students who were transitioning into high school. And we were able to stay in contact with those girls and with the school, and we could see how it changed their lives.
So that's an interesting structure that you have there. So how do you feel when you see the lives are being directly impacted by what you're doing? Does it make your giving more powerful for you? Are you more connected to it?
Absolutely. I've always been interested in giving and in donating to charitable causes. I just think it's important, and it's part of what we should do to sort of help each other out in this global community that we live in. But it's so different sending money over the ocean or across the country that I'm never going to see the change for. It's different in the sense that now I'm getting letters from the girls that I'm helping. I'm getting letters from the organization saying, without your money, we wouldn't have been able to build our library center or to refurbish our pool so that disabled people can swim. Getting that feedback and hearing that has a profound impact on me personally, and I know the other women in the group have expressed that they feel the same way.
I would imagine that that would make you more likely to continue giving, and that the member people who join your giving circle are more or less stick around.
Yeah, we've had a really consistent membership, which has been great. it was one of the things that we were concerned about in the beginning. You know, how are we going to make sure that these women aren't just going to give once when their cause is chosen, the one they want to support, and we're never going to see them again? And I think that's one of the biggest things that's kept people coming back is they all receive personal letters directly from the organization saying, you know, thank you so much for your donation. This is what we're going to use the money for. We couldn't have done it without you. And your smaller donation really, really feels like a whole lot more. Our organization gave a little over $6,000 last year. And I know that I personally feel like I gave $6,000 to these four organizations. And so does every other woman that I've talked to that's participated. They're like, yes, that was my $6,000 that I gave. And you really feel like it's something that you're doing with these other women, and it sort of changes the way you see giving, and it changes the way that you see helping your community, because it's impacting you personally. It's not just you writing a check and forgetting about it. You get to hear about it, and you get to know about what's going on, and it's really incredible. I usually get really emotional when I talk about it, so I'm glad that I got through that without it.
And $6,000 is a lot of money for a giving circle in its first year. So how many members did you start with, and where are you kind of at now?
We started with about 8. Being teachers, we had sort of a limited pool that we could pull from. And so it was kind of like our closest teacher friends that were interested in supporting the organization. And from there, it's just sort of grown through word of mouth, and we've gotten some press releases out and some newspaper time and some radio time and just little things here and there that have really added up. And so now we're at just around 40 members.
40 members. That's really great growth in a year. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, we're very excited about it.
Where are your new members coming from?
Like I said, just sort of word of mouth. A lot of it has been from people who know people. We go and we try to talk about our organization at just about any event that we can think of that's going to have something for us to talk about, and we are just trying to meet women who are interested. We've had several people overhear our conversations when we've just been out to dinner or for social gatherings who've been like, I'm so interested, you know, where can I find out more? And they've ended up coming. And it's just sort of slow and steady growth just from members sharing. And so we've got a whole variety and a whole host of women now, women in the private sector and women who work in the public sector, outside of just teachers. We have this a really diverse group of women, and so part of what we love about our organization is having that chance to sort of come together and network 4 times a year and to meet new women and talk about what's going on in our community and what we're all doing and how we're all sort of interconnected, and just to get another chance to sort of see that again has been really neat. Our last fundraiser, we had our highest attendance ever, and the social atmosphere was just so much fun, and it was so positive and so uplifting. So I was really glad to get to see that and to get to experience that after having done this for a year.
Yeah. So did I hear you say that you would go to places and speak? Did I pick up on that correctly?
Yes, we've gone to a couple of different things. We've talked to the Professional Women's Network of Monterey County. Also, several of the local Masonic lodges who've supported us by giving us their space to have our meetings. We've spoken to the male and female members of the lodges about what's going on. And we've also done one fundraising event, which we're going to repeat again this year for a local group called Peacock Acres. They have a fundraising event, so we've gone over there and done a little bit of speaking and worked with them a little bit as well.
So what do you usually tell people at these meetings? Do you direct them to your website? Do you invite them to a meeting? How do you take it from talking to people at an event and doing a presentation to getting them into your group?
Well, we sort of just start with the basics, saying who we are and what our mission is, you know, to bring women together to serve our community in a way that none of us could do independently. And we invite them to come to the meetings and just to check it out, because to stay at a meeting and to watch a meeting run, there's absolutely no commitment. Come to the happy hour, have some food, have some wine, network with some great women, and then stay for the meeting and see how it goes, see if you're interested. Not putting a lot of pressure on people, just to give them the opportunity to come and check it out with no financial obligation, has really helped. But a lot of women hear about us talking about it, and we talk at these events and direct them to our website or to the email, and they ask for more information via one of those means of communication, and then we end up seeing them at the meetings. Sometimes just that one-on-one time with somebody is what they need to have their personal questions answered and their personal fears, you know, if they're worried about the money amount or if they're worried about a time commitment. Talking to them one-on-one has been really helpful, but a lot of women a lot of women are sort of just excited about the concept, and once they actually get the chance to see it happening, even if they don't join at that meeting, we usually see them at the next one. That's kind of been what we've noticed.
So you mentioned that people are concerned about the money commitment and the time commitment. So what does that look like for your group?
Well, the time commitment is the easiest part of the whole thing. We don't ask for anything more than an hour of your time 4 times a year. If you want to come to the happy hour, we always have a happy hour from 5:30 to 6:30 where women can have food and network, like I talked about before. And then from 6:30 to 7:30, we run our formal fundraising meeting. And that's the only time commitment that we ask. We don't ask our members to join a committee or to do extra research for organizations if they don't want to. There's no pressure, which was one of the things that really drew us to setting up this organization, because we felt like, how would we have all this time as teachers when we're so busy to do this? And so we thought, well, this would be a really good way for a working mom or any working woman to get away for 1 hour 4 times a year and make a huge difference in her community. To address the financial impact, we ask for $100 to have a say in which organization receives the funding. And so a lot of women, especially in a recession, even for the both of us, as I'm thinking about it now, we were like, wow, $100 can be a lot of money, even if that is 4 times a year. So what can we do to make that easier for people? And so we thought, well, what if we split people up into teams if they wanted to be in a team? So maybe I can't afford $100 by myself, but me and my best friend who lives down the street can both do $50. Or me and three other teachers that I work with can each do $25. That was so much more doable for so many women in these tough economic times that we thought, yeah, we need to have this option to break it up. If you can do $100 by yourself, excellent. If you can do $100 with a team of 2 or 3 or 4, excellent. It works out both ways just as well, and it still makes your money feel like that huge number that we end up giving at the end. You still feel the difference, even though you are giving a different amount. And I think that that's what's so powerful about it, is that your $25 or your $50 or your $100, whatever that is that you feel like you can give, it turns into $6,000 or more at the end of the year.
Interesting. And so you talked a little bit about the fundraising portion of the meeting. Can you kind of walk us through that meeting, like how How are you choosing which organizations that you're giving to? Do they do presentations? Can you kind of outline that process for us?
Sure. We don't actually want the organizations to solicit on their own behalf. Another thing that we found was so appealing about this organization was that it was totally community driven. Whatever the members of the community cared about and saw as important, vital resources to our community, we wanted our members to bring that to us. And so the way that 100 Women works is at 6:30 when the meeting starts, we give all of the, for every $100 that's contributed, so either individually or with your team, you get to vote, or you get to, I'm sorry, you don't get to vote, you get to put in the name of an organization first. So I'm going to go back to the first example of the Girls Inc. scholarships. One of our members put in the name for Girls Inc. into a bowl, along with all of the other members who were contributing. And then what we did was, and what we do is we pull three names from the bowl, and the three members that submitted that organization, their organizations get to give presentations. And we want them to be short presentations that are informal. We have a list of guidelines up on our website, just sort of talking points or things to think about, but not necessarily like a script you have to read off of. Because most women have cared about these organizations for so long that they could talk about them for an hour if we could let them. So we found that it's been really easy for women to get up there and say, you know, Jacob's Heart is this really cool organization that I'm super excited about, and this is what they do, and if you give your money, this is where your money is going to go, and this is how they're going to spend it. And so we hear that from three of our members, and then for every $100, you get one vote. So your team, if you're with a team, decides on which organization you'd like to support that quarter, or individually you get to make your own vote that quarter. And then we tally up all the votes, and the organization with the most votes gets all of the checks written directly from our members to the organization. So none of the checks get written to 100 Women. We just collect a bunch of checks, in this case for Girls Inc., and then we call Girls Inc. and say, we would, you know, we have some money we'd like to give you. Can we come over and talk to you about it and give you the money? And they're always really happy to set it up. And so, you know, 9 times out of 10, the organizations have no idea that they're even going to be receiving any funding. And that's been another really cool part about going and delivering to this organization, to the different organizations, excuse me, is, you know, just saying someone in your community really cares about what you're doing and thinks that it's really awesome and great what you're doing, and we want to give you a handful of checks. And it's never been a bad thing for us. It's always been a really positive experience and a lot of fun.
And giving people money always feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You've mentioned
so
a couple of times.
That's how it works. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So I was going to ask you, you mentioned a couple of times that some, you know, what attracted you to 100 Women. So tell us what about the relationship between 100 Women Who Care and 100 Women Who Care in Central California, on the Central Coast.
I heard about the one in Santa Cruz, and I hopped online and did a little bit of research, and I found that it started in Jackson, Michigan. And the way that it started was the woman who started it knew that there was a huge need for baby cribs in her community, because a lot of low-income families were having children who were getting sick and children who were dying because they didn't have proper places to sleep. And so what she did was she got together with a bunch of her friends and said, I think if we all work together and we all give a little bit, we can buy these cribs for these babies, and we can make their lives better, the family's lives better. And from there, it just sort of blossomed into this, to this new idea, and they started their chapter, and it was very informal, everything that they did. And when I went online and I did all this research, I thought, this is really cool, so I'm going to email her, and I'm going to see you know, what I need to do to start my chapter. And she actually ended up calling me back about 15 minutes later, and we were on the phone for 3 hours. So that's, I mean, that's really our relationship. She's, both of the women who started it have been nothing but absolutely supportive, working on starting sort of a network of 100 women who cares as they pop up all over the country, so that if you, mm-hmm. you move somewhere else, maybe there's one in your area. And if there's not, it's so easy to start one. It's so easy to start one of these giving circles, because they've sort of done all the legwork for you. They've got the forms if you want the forms, and they've got the guidelines and how they run their meetings, and everything's on their websites. And so they want it to keep growing, and they want to help women to start these organizations. But other than that, we have no connection to one another, because all of their money goes to their community and all of our money goes to our community. But like mm-hmm. I said, they've been nothing but absolutely supportive. I send out email blasts occasionally about what's going on. And Sally, who's one of the, she founded one of the original chapters, is just, she's always got a positive, you know, note for everyone that sends out a blast and a word of encouragement. And they're just, they're really, truly amazing women who just really inspired us to do a lot of good, and who have inspired a lot of women all around the country to do a lot of good.
So if somebody were listening to this and they wanted to contact them to have some help starting up a group like yours, would you recommend that they look them up on the website and call them and email them?
I would recommend that they would definitely talk to either of those women, Sally Wiarda or Karen Dunnigan of 100 Women Who Care. They're just absolutely amazing. And they, you know, they're kind of like the rest of us. They just decided to start their own giving circle, and it's turned into this huge explosion of giving and care. And it's it's just, it's really incredible and really inspiring what they've done. And I would say really any chapter of 100 Women Who Care who are interested, like if you live in Oregon and maybe there's one close by, to contact the people who are in charge of the local chapter and mm-hmm. to just see what's going on. Because what I've noticed, even from talking, you know, to the women up in Santa Cruz and women over in Mountain View who started their organization, everyone's really willing to help because they've seen the good that it can do for their community, and they've seen the testimonials, and they see the power and the impact. And you just mm-hmm. you can't beat that. It's right there. It's in your face, and it's real because you see it. You see their communities changing because of what they're doing, and it's mm-hmm. it's awesome. And they're very willing to help. Oh, we all are. It's a cool kind of little loose knit, non official group that we're all sort of a part of, and it's incredible. I feel really lucky to be working sort of side by side with these women, even though we're not side by mm-hmm. side, if that makes sense.
Side by side in spirit, right?
Yes.
Both wanting
exactly.
to. And if people wanted to go to the website, it's 100 with the numerals, right? 100 women who care dot, is it com or dot org?
We're actually, ours is a little bit longer. It's 100 the number, women who care. SalinasMonterey.com.
Okay. .com.
Mm-hmm. .com.
Okay. So what would you tell somebody if somebody is listening to this and they're in the Central Coast area, why would they want to join your giving circle?
The reason that I think we sort of fit into our community in a way that other organizations might not is, one, it's totally local. It goes to the people in your community that need the money. It's not paying for administrative fees. It's not paying for processing fees. It's paying for things to change.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that we don't ask for a time commitment. All we really ask even if you can't come to the meetings, is that you just commit to giving 4 times a year, either independently or with your team. We're not going to ask you to join a committee. We're not going to ask you to do a lot of research, and we're not going to ask you to, you know, bring 10 people or you can't come. We don't ask anything but that you give us an hour of your time 4 times a year. So 4 hours a year is what we're asking. And we feel like that's very reasonable and very doable for a lot of women who feel like they don't have a lot of time otherwise.
Yeah, women have a lot of responsibilities.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Whitney, thank you so much for sharing your time and your experience with us about your group. And anybody who's in the Monterey County area, I recommend that you take a look at their website, stop by and check out a meeting, and start making a change in the community. And if you're listening to this and you're interested in starting a giving circle, do a little research on 100 Women Who Care and if they can help you start your giving circle too. Thanks so much, Whitney.
Thank you, Sharon.